you only act when you feel good, you'll never see how far you can really go. Most people don't fail because they're lazy. They fail because they only work when the mood is right. A good mood feels great, but it doesn't last. Real life gives you early mornings when you're tired, days when you feel distracted, and moments when you'd rather avoid the hard stuff. If your goals depend on waiting for the perfect feeling, you'll spend more time waiting than doing. Think about it. How many times have you promised yourself you'd start, but then delayed because you weren't ready? How often have you slowed down because the excitement was gone? That's why this message matters. Your future isn't built on how you feel, it's built on what you do, especially when it's hard to do it. Today, we're going to talk about how to keep going when your emotions push back. If you want results that last, you need this. Chapter 1. Start working before waiting for the perfect mood. Most people are convinced they need to feel ready before they can get started. They tell themselves, once I'm in the right headspace, then I'll do it. They think they need energy, excitement, or a spark of inspiration to take action. That thinking sounds reasonable, but it's the reason so many people stay stuck. You cannot build a strong and successful life if your actions depend on how you feel in the moment. If you only work when your mood is high, you will lose the days when it's low, and those lost days add up. Success comes from doing the work whether you feel good or not. The perfect mood is not the requirement for progress. Action is the requirement. There will be days when you wake up and feel ready to take on the world. On those days, tasks feel lighter, decisions feel easier, and your motivation feels unstoppable. And you know as well as I do that those days don't come every time you need them. If you build your strategy around only working when the mood is right, you'll waste countless opportunities. Life is not built on how you feel in a single moment. It's built on what you decide to do over and over, no matter what your emotions are doing. Think about the times you waited to feel ready. Maybe you put off starting a workout program because you weren't in the right mindset. Maybe you delayed a business idea because you were waiting for the right time. How many months passed before you felt ready? And when you finally started, didn't you realize you could have done it earlier? That's the trap. Waiting for the perfect mood turns into waiting forever. The truth is, most good things in life begin before you feel ready for them. Human emotions are unpredictable. You can wake up feeling positive one day and drained the next, even if nothing in your circumstances has changed. If you allow those shifts to control your actions, you give away your power. You become a servant to your mood instead of the master of your life. Discipline means you act based on your decisions, not your feelings. And the sooner you understand that, the sooner you'll take back control of your future. Start by recognizing that motivation is not a reliable partner. It's great when it's there, but it's not guaranteed. If you rely on it, you will only take action occasionally. If you want to grow, you must separate your choices from your emotions. You must decide in advance what you will do and then do it, regardless of how you feel at that moment. This is not about being hard on yourself for having low energy. It's about not giving your low energy the power to decide your future. One of the strongest skills you can develop is the ability to start without needing to feel like it. Imagine if you woke up, looked at your schedule, and followed through without asking yourself whether you felt motivated. Imagine if you approached your health, your work, your relationships with that kind of steady commitment. Over time, the results would be impossible to ignore. You'd get stronger, smarter, and more consistent. And most importantly, you'd build trust with yourself. The kind of trust that says, when I say I'm going to do something, I mean it. It's easy to work when you feel good. The challenge is showing up when you don't. That's where your growth happens, Those are the days that build character. When you push yourself through the resistance, you teach yourself that you are capable of more than you thought, and every time you do that, it gets a little easier the next time. You stop being surprised by your own consistency and start expecting it from yourself. To start working before waiting for the perfect mood, you have to design your environment and your schedule in a way that removes excuses. If you leave it up to the moment, your emotions will always find a reason to delay. So make your decisions in advance. Decide the time you will work. Decide the number of minutes you will give to your goal. Decide the first action you will take. By making those decisions ahead of time, you remove the need for mood-based thinking. Another key is to keep your focus small. If you wake up and think about every single task you have to do in a week, you'll feel overwhelmed, especially if you're not in the best mood. But if you focus on just starting the next small step, you can overcome the resistance. You don't need to feel ready to start, you just need to start. Once you begin, momentum builds naturally. Many times, action creates the very motivation you were waiting for. Understand that your mood is not the enemy. It's simply not the driver. Your mood can give you energy, but it should never be in charge of whether you act. You will have days when you feel down, tired, or distracted. That's life. If you can still take action on those days, you become unstoppable. Because now you've proven to yourself that you can move forward under any condition, not just the easy ones. You might think, but if I'm not in the mood, won't my work be poor? That's not always true. Sometimes the work you produce on a tough day surprises you. Other times it may not be your best, but it's still progress. And progress matters more than perfection. Consistency compounds over time, and even average days contribute to extraordinary results when they're added up. One thing I've noticed is that people who succeed long term have trained themselves to take action under all emotional states. They don't cancel their commitments because they woke up feeling unmotivated. They don't abandon their plans because they had a bad morning. They keep going. This isn't because they're superhuman, it's because they've built the habit of acting without waiting for permission from their feelings. You can do the same. It starts with a simple agreement you make with yourself. I will not base my actions on my mood. From there, you hold yourself to that standard every day. When you wake up tired, you still show up. When you feel anxious, you still take the step. When you're frustrated, you still move forward. Over time, this creates an inner strength that no change in mood can break. Think about how powerful that makes you. You're no longer at the mercy of whether or not today feels good. You've taken control of your own life. You've become someone who can be trusted, not just by others, but by yourself. And self-trust is one of the most valuable things you can build. Without it, you doubt your own words and promises. With it, you believe in your ability to follow through, no matter what. The idea here is not to ignore your feelings. Feelings matter. They're signals, but they should never be the deciding factor in whether you take action. If you need rest, schedule rest intentionally, not as an unplanned reaction to a bad mood. If you need to adjust your workload, do it strategically, not because you didn't feel like it in the moment. The difference is intentionality. You are in control, not your emotions. There will always be moments when you would rather wait until you feel better. But if you give in to that, you teach your mind that mood comes before action. If you reverse that, if you take action before waiting for mood, you teach your mind that action can lead mood. And once you learn that, you'll stop fearing the days when you feel low. You'll know you can still make progress on them. So the challenge I give you is simple. The next time you notice yourself thinking, I'm not in the mood, take that as your cue to start. Begin the task anyway. It might feel uncomfortable at first, but you'll see how quickly your mind adjusts when you refuse to give it an escape route. That is how you break free from mood-based living. You can live your entire life waiting for perfect conditions and never move forward, or you can decide that you are the condition. You choose to show up. You choose to act. You choose to make progress. And when you do, you find that the mood you were hoping for often shows up after you've already started. This is how discipline is built, through consistent action, independent of feelings. It's how trust is built, by proving to yourself that you will do what you said you would do. And it's how success is built, not by chasing the perfect mood, but by working steadily in every mood. If you want your life to change, start here. Don't wait for motivation to appear. Don't wait for energy to magically rise. Don't wait for the right time. The right time is when you decide it is. And the right moment to act is always now. That choice, repeated daily, will take you further than the best mood you could ever hope for. Chapter 2. Show discipline when your feelings try to control you. Most people don't realize how often their decisions are driven by temporary emotions. One moment they feel confident and ready, and they move forward. The next moment they feel uncertain or afraid, and they stop. If you live that way, your progress will be unpredictable, because your actions will always be at the mercy of how you feel. Discipline is the skill that protects you from that trap. It's the ability to act based on your values, commitments, and priorities, rather than whatever emotion happens to be strongest in the moment. Feelings can be powerful. When you feel excited, you naturally move faster. When you feel discouraged, you naturally slow down or even avoid taking action. The problem is that feelings change quickly and often without reason. You can wake up in the same life you were happy about yesterday and suddenly feel heavy or doubtful today. If you let those swings dictate your actions, you'll never have consistency. Discipline is what keeps you on track when your emotions try to pull you off it. Discipline is not about ignoring your emotions. It's about not giving them the authority to make your decisions for you. You can acknowledge that you feel tired, anxious, or distracted, and still decide to follow through with what you planned. You can be aware of frustration and still choose a productive response. The difference between people who achieve meaningful results and those who don't is often found in who can stay committed when their feelings aren't supportive. You will always encounter moments when you feel resistance to doing what needs to be done. Your mind might offer reasons to delay, your body might signal discomfort, your emotions might suggest avoidance. Discipline means recognizing those signals for what they are, temporary, and moving forward anyway. That doesn't mean you become emotionless. It means you choose your actions based on what will serve you in the long run, not what will comfort you in the next 5 minutes. One of the most effective ways to build discipline is to create clear standards for yourself. If you only have vague ideas about what you want to do, emotions will fill in the gaps with excuses. But when you have specific rules for yourself, when you've decided in advance how you will act in certain situations, you remove much of the room for emotional negotiation. For example, if you decide that you will exercise every morning at 7 o'clock, then when you wake up tired, the choice has already been made. You're not asking yourself whether you feel like it. You're following a decision you already committed to. It's also important to practice acting without waiting to feel like it. Many people wait for the feeling of readiness before taking action, but feelings of readiness often only appear after you've already begun. By taking the first step before your emotions catch up, you train yourself to move forward regardless of mood. Over time, you weaken the habit of hesitation and strengthen the habit of doing what's necessary. Discipline often means separating your identity from your emotions. Just because you feel unmotivated doesn't mean you are unmotivated. Just because you feel nervous doesn't mean you are incapable. Feelings are experiences, not definitions. When you stop identifying with every emotion that passes through you, you can see them more clearly and act more deliberately. You start asking, "What is the right thing to do here?" Instead of, "What do I feel like doing right now?" you will face situations where your emotions try to push you toward impulsive decisions. Maybe you feel angry and you want to respond with harsh words. Maybe you feel impatient and you want to quit early. In those moments, discipline is what gives you the space to pause, think, and choose wisely. That pause is small, but it's powerful. It's where you take back control from feelings that could have caused regret. Your environment can play a big role in how easy or hard it is to stay disciplined. If you surround yourself with distractions, temptations, and negativity, your emotions will be triggered more often, and you'll need to fight harder to stay in control. But if you create an environment that supports your priorities, removing temptations, organizing your space, and surrounding yourself with people who encourage responsibility, you make it easier to act based on decisions instead of feelings. Another key part of discipline is building small victories. When you regularly keep small promises to yourself, you build a sense of self-respect and trust. That trust makes it easier to follow through when bigger challenges come along. If you say you will read for 10 minutes a day and you do it, you prove to yourself that you can be relied on. Those small actions may not seem important in the moment, but they are the training ground for the discipline you'll need when life gets harder. There will be times when your emotions are loud and convincing. They will try to tell you that you've done enough for the day, that you can skip this one task, that you can take it easy just this once. Discipline means listening to those voices and then deciding based on your higher goals instead of your current comfort. It's not about being harsh with yourself. It's about being honest about what those choices will cost you over time. Self-discipline is built through practice, not through sudden bursts of willpower. You strengthen it by making small, consistent choices that go against your immediate feelings, but align with your bigger picture. Each time you resist the pull of an unhelpful emotion, you prove to yourself that you're in charge. And every time you give in, you reinforce the habit of letting emotions lead. The difference between the two becomes clear when you start to track your decisions and notice which ones are moving you forward and which ones are holding you back. A useful question to ask yourself in moments of emotional pressure is, "What will I be glad I did later?" That question moves you beyond your current mood and forces you to think from the perspective of your future self. The future version of you will not care whether you felt motivated on a certain day. They will care about whether you took action that moved you closer to your goals. Discipline means acting in a way that future you will thank you for. Sometimes, discipline is about stopping yourself from doing something, not just pushing yourself to do it. It's about resisting the urge to react, to indulge, or to escape into short-term relief. It's choosing not to eat the food that derails your health goals, not to spend the money that breaks your budget, not to say the words that damage a relationship. These moments of restraint are just as important as the moments of effort. Your feelings can also trick you by dressing up as logic. You might tell yourself, "I'll do it later when I can give it more focus," when really you're just avoiding it because you don't feel like starting. Discipline means being able to recognize when your reasoning is just an excuse that's been shaped by emotion. That awareness takes practice, but it's one of the most valuable skills you can develop. Another reality is that discipline and self-respect go hand in hand. Every time you choose your higher goal over your lower impulse, you gain respect for yourself. You feel more confident in your ability to handle challenges. On the other hand, every time you let your feelings dictate your actions in a way that goes against your values, you lose a little bit of trust in yourself. There's also a balance to be found. Discipline doesn't mean ignoring your emotional needs entirely. If you're exhausted, sometimes the disciplined choice is to rest so you can perform better tomorrow. If you're dealing with genuine emotional pain, sometimes discipline means seeking support instead of pushing through alone. The key is that even those choices are made deliberately and in alignment with your priorities, not as a reaction to the momentary discomfort of doing the work. Your feelings will never stop trying to influence you. That's part of being human. But you can train yourself to respond to them differently. You can acknowledge them, understand them, and still act in a way that serves you. The goal is not to remove emotions from your life, but to keep them in the right place, as information, not as commands. The more you practice discipline in the face of strong feelings, the more stable and predictable your progress becomes. You won't be thrown off course every time you have a bad day. You won't lose weeks of progress because of a temporary loss of motivation. You'll have a foundation of action that you can rely on no matter what emotional storms pass through. When you live this way, your life becomes less about reacting to how you feel and more about creating what you want. You stop being a passenger in your own journey and start being the driver. You can wake up in any mood and still move forward because you've trained yourself to act on what matters, not just on what's easy. That's the real strength of discipline. It frees you from being controlled by feelings that may or may not support you. And when you have that strength, you can achieve consistency in a way that mood-driven living never could. You'll find that the more you live by discipline, the more stable your emotions actually become, because you're no longer feeding the habit of letting them decide for you. This isn't about becoming perfect. You will have days when emotions win. The point is to reduce those days over time and to make sure they don't define your progress. If you can commit to showing discipline, even when your feelings try to take control, you can trust that your goals are safe in your hands, not at the mercy of whatever mood you happen to be in. That trust, built one disciplined choice at a time, is one of the greatest rewards you can give yourself.
Chapter 3. Act on your plans, even when you feel resistance. Resistance is one of the biggest reasons people fail to follow through on what they planned. It's that invisible weight that makes starting harder than it should be. You've set the goal, you've made the plan, and yet when the moment comes to act, you feel a pushback from inside yourself. It's not always fear or doubt. Sometimes it's just a strange pull toward delay, a sense that you'd rather do anything else first. That's resistance, and if you don't learn to move through it, it will quietly rob you of progress year after year. The important thing to understand is that resistance is normal. It happens to everyone who is trying to improve or create something meaningful. You can have the clearest plan and still feel the urge to postpone. This doesn't mean your plan is wrong or that you're weak. It means your brain is doing what it's used to, choosing comfort over challenge. The problem is, comfort in the moment often costs you growth in the long run. Acting in spite of resistance is the difference between a plan that changes your life and a plan that just lives in your head. You can't wait for resistance to disappear before taking action. That's the mistake most people make. They think they'll act when it feels easier, when they're more in the mood, or when the perfect burst of motivation arrives. But resistance rarely fades on its own. In fact, it often grows the longer you delay. The faster you move into action after feeling it, the less power it has over you. One way to weaken resistance is to keep your focus on the first step, not the whole plan. When you think about everything you need to do to reach your goal, your mind can feel overwhelmed and resistance gets stronger. But if you only focus on the single action you can take right now, you shrink the size of the challenge in your mind. For example, if your plan is to get fit, don't focus on the months ahead. Focus on putting on your shoes and starting today's workout. That simple act bypasses the mental wall. Another way to handle resistance is to expect it instead of being surprised by it. If you know it's going to show up, you won't waste time arguing with it or feeling like something's wrong. You'll just recognize it and keep moving. When you've already decided that resistance is part of the process, it loses its ability to throw you off. You won't be asking yourself whether you should do the work. You'll be acting because you already knew this moment was coming. Accountability can also make a huge difference. When your plans live only in your own head, resistance can talk you out of them quietly and without consequence. But when you've told someone about your plan, committed to a deadline, or created a public commitment, there's an added layer of pressure to follow through. It's not about fear of judgment. It's about adding structure that makes quitting harder. Resistance thrives in private. It struggles in the light of accountability. Sometimes resistance comes from overthinking. You start playing out scenarios in your head, predicting problems, imagining what could go wrong, or even trying to perfect every detail before you start. All of that mental noise makes the first step feel heavier than it is. The cure is action, without over-analysis. You don't need the full path figured out to take the first move. Plans can evolve, progress happens step by step, and you can't adjust something you never start. There are also days when resistance comes disguised as reasonable excuses. You might think, I'll start later when I'm more prepared, or I should research a little more before I act. On the surface, these thoughts sound responsible, but they often hide the simple truth. You're delaying because acting feels uncomfortable. Being honest with yourself about that is powerful. The moment you can say, I'm avoiding this because I don't want the discomfort, you take away the illusion and see resistance for what it is. Breaking resistance often requires lowering the entry barrier. Make it easier to start by removing extra steps between you and the action. If your plan is to write every morning, have your workspace ready the night before. If your plan is to go to the gym, have your clothes and bag prepared in advance. The less effort it takes to begin, the less chance resistance has to grow in the gap between deciding and starting. It's also worth reminding yourself why you made the plan in the first place. When resistance shows up, it often tries to make you forget your original reason for acting. Take a moment to reconnect with the purpose behind your goal. If you remember the real reason, whether it's improving your health, building financial freedom, or developing a skill, it becomes easier to push through the resistance because you see the action as part of something bigger. Another key is momentum. Resistance is strongest before you start, but once you begin, it starts to fade. That's why the first few minutes matter so much. If you can get through them, the work often becomes easier than you expected. This is why many successful people focus on simply beginning. They know that getting started is the hardest part, but once they're moving, the mind and body adjust quickly. You also have to stop making decisions in the moment. If every time it's time to work, you have to decide again whether or not to do it, resistance gets another chance to win. Instead, make your decisions once when you're clear-headed. Set the schedule, choose the actions, and then follow them without renegotiating. Every time you debate, you invite resistance to speak louder. Resistance isn't always about laziness. It's often about fear. Fear of failing. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of wasting time. These fears can be quiet and subtle, but they show up as hesitation. The best way to weaken them is to accept that imperfection and setbacks are part of growth. When you stop demanding perfect results from yourself, you remove one of resistance's favorite tools. Some people try to fight resistance with massive bursts of motivation, but that's not sustainable. You don't need to feel unstoppable to take action. You just need to feel willing. Willingness is quieter than motivation, but it's far more reliable. It's the simple choice to begin, regardless of how energized or inspired you feel. One powerful approach is to set a rule that you will act for a minimum amount of time, no matter what. For example, you might decide that when resistance hits, you'll still work for 10 minutes. Often those 10 minutes turn into much more, But even if they don't, you've kept the habit alive and proven to yourself that resistance doesn't control you. It's also helpful to recognize that resistance is a sign of growth. You don't feel it when you're doing things that keep you exactly where you are. You feel it when you're trying to push beyond your comfort zone. So when it shows up, take it as proof that you're on the right track. You're trying something that matters enough to trigger discomfort, and that's a good sign. To make acting on your plans easier, avoid overloading yourself with too many changes at once. Resistance grows when the challenge feels overwhelming. Focus on fewer, more important actions, and commit to them fully. Once they become part of your routine, add more. This layered approach keeps resistance from gaining too much power at the start. Another way to break through resistance is to connect the action to your identity. Instead of thinking, "I need to do this task," think, "This is what the kind of person I want to be does." If your plan is to read every day, tell yourself, "I'm the type of person who reads daily." When the action becomes part of who you are, it feels less like a chore and more like a reflection of your standards. There will be days when resistance wins and you don't follow through. The danger is in letting those days multiply. The quicker you return to action, the less damage is done. Forgive yourself for slipping, but don't let it become a habit. One missed step is a moment. Several missed steps is a pattern. Patterns are what shape your results. It's worth reminding yourself that the discomfort of resistance is temporary, but the results of acting are lasting. You might feel uneasy for a few minutes when starting, but you'll feel proud and relieved afterward. On the other hand, giving in to resistance gives you short-term comfort, but long-term regret. Choosing the short discomfort for the sake of long-term gain is a habit worth building. Your plans were created in a moment of clarity. You made them for a reason. Resistance tries to make you forget that reason. Acting in the face of resistance means trusting your past judgment over your present hesitation. It means believing in the version of yourself that set the goal, not the version that's looking for a way out. If you want to move forward in life, you have to accept that resistance will always be there in some form. You can't eliminate it, but you can train yourself to move through it quickly. Every time you act in spite of it, you make it weaker for the next time. Eventually, you'll stop being surprised by its presence and start seeing it as a familiar part of the process, a challenge you've learned how to handle. Acting on your plans even when you feel resistance is one of the most valuable skills you can master. It keeps you consistent when others stall. It helps you finish what you start, and it builds a kind of inner strength that makes future challenges easier to face. Your future depends on how you handle these moments, and every choice you make is shaping that future right now.
Chapter 4. Decide what matters and do it no matter what. Most people never stop to clearly decide what truly matters to them. They go through their days reacting to whatever comes their way, saying yes to things that don't matter and letting what's important get pushed to the side. When you live this way, your energy is scattered, your time is stolen, and your progress is random. The truth is, until you decide what matters most in your life, you can't give it the focus and commitment it deserves. And once you do decide, you have to follow through no matter what obstacles appear. Because if you let outside forces control your priorities, they will always push you off track. Deciding what matters starts with brutal honesty. You have to look at your life and ask, "What is truly important to me?" Not what looks good to others, not what you think you're supposed to want, but what actually has meaning for you. It might be building a career you're proud of. It might be improving your health. It might be giving your family stability. Whatever it is, it needs to be something you believe in deeply enough to stick with even when it gets hard. Without that personal connection, it's too easy to quit when the effort becomes uncomfortable. Once you've made that decision, you have to protect it. Life will constantly present you with distractions, some obvious, some disguised as opportunities. You will be tempted to give your time to things that seem urgent,
but are actually unimportant. If you're not careful, you'll end up spending your energy on tasks that keep you busy but don't move you forward. Protecting what matters means learning to say no without guilt. Every yes to something that doesn't matter is a no to something that does. Doing what matters no matter what requires a shift in how you view commitment. Many people treat commitments as flexible, something they can adjust depending on mood, convenience, or circumstance. But real commitment is not negotiable. When you decide something is a priority, it stays a priority regardless of how you feel on any given day. That doesn't mean you ignore life's realities, it means you find ways to adjust without abandoning your core goal. One of the most important skills you can develop is the ability to work on what matters, even when it's inconvenient. There will be times when your schedule gets disrupted, when unexpected problems show up, when other people demand your attention. In those moments, it's easy to let your priorities slide, just this once. But every time you push them aside, you weaken your standard. The people who achieve long-term results are the ones who adapt without losing sight of what's essential. Clarity is key here. If you haven't defined what matters, you can't defend it. Write it down, make it specific. Vague goals are easy to abandon. A clear, specific commitment gives you something solid to hold on to when life tries to pull you in different directions. For example, I want to be healthier is vague. I will exercise for 30 minutes 5 days a week is clear. When your priorities are specific, they're harder to ignore. Once you know what matters, you also need to measure your choices against it. Ask yourself daily, is what I'm doing right now aligned with what matters most? This question cuts through distractions quickly. If the answer is no, you either need to stop what you're doing or acknowledge that you're choosing something less important over something more important. That awareness alone can change the way you spend your time. It's also important to realize that what matters is often not what's easiest. In fact, it's usually the opposite. The things that have the greatest impact on your life tend to require consistent effort, patience, and discipline. That's why so many people give up. They confuse difficulty with impossibility. But difficulty is simply the price of achieving something meaningful. If you decide what matters and commit to doing it no matter what, you accept that price without resentment. There will be days when it feels like progress is slow. There will be times when results aren't visible yet. If you base your effort only on immediate rewards, you'll stop too soon. The people who succeed are the ones who keep showing up when there's no instant payoff, because they know the payoff comes later. That's why deciding what matters is so important. It gives you a reason to push forward, even when there's no short-term gratification. The real test comes when life throws something heavy at you. A personal setback, a financial struggle, a conflict with someone you care about, these can shake your focus and make your priorities feel less urgent. But in reality, these are the moments when sticking to what matters is most important. If you let challenges pull you completely away from your priorities, you'll have to start over later. If you can keep working on them through the storm, you'll come out stronger on the other side. One way to make this easier is to build routines around your priorities. When something is part of your daily or weekly routine, it becomes automatic, and automatic habits are harder to break when life gets messy. If what matters to you is building a skill, set aside a fixed time every day to practice it. If it's improving your health, lock in specific workout times. The less you have to decide each day, the less chance there is for excuses to get in the way. It's also crucial to keep your circle strong. Surround yourself with people who respect and support your priorities. If you spend your time with people who constantly pull you into things that don't matter to you, you'll find yourself drifting. But if you're around people who value focus and commitment, you'll have reinforcement when you need it most. You're less likely to abandon what matters when the people around you are also protecting what matters to them. Another trap to watch for is letting other people's expectations decide your priorities for you. It's easy to start chasing what looks impressive to others instead of what's meaningful to you. This leads to a life that looks good from the outside, but feels empty on the inside. The only way to avoid this is to be very clear about why each priority matters to you personally. If the reason isn't your own, it won't hold up when things get hard. Sticking to what matters also requires being realistic about time. You can't do everything, so you have to choose. Trying to chase too many priorities at once is a recipe for burnout and scattered results. Pick fewer things, but commit to them fully. When you spread yourself too thin, even the most important goals suffer because they don't get the attention they deserve. Every day you have to prove to yourself that your priorities are real. This proof comes from action, not intention. You can tell yourself that something matters, but if you consistently choose something else instead, your actions are revealing your true priority. Being honest about this can be uncomfortable, but it's necessary if you want to change it. Sometimes doing what matters will require sacrificing comfort, entertainment, or even certain relationships. This is not about living a joyless life, it's about recognizing that everything has a cost. If you want the reward of staying true to your priorities, you have to be willing to pay the cost of letting go of what doesn't align with them. That choice is not always easy, but it's always worth it in the long run. When you decide what matters and do it no matter what, you start to see your life align in ways it never did before. Your energy is no longer scattered across meaningless tasks. Your time is no longer wasted on things that don't serve you. You feel a deeper sense of control and satisfaction because you know you're living by your own values instead of being pushed around by outside demands. It's important to remember that what matters most can change over time. The priorities you had 5 years ago may not be the same ones you have today. That's why it's important to check in with yourself regularly. Ask if your current priorities still fit the life you want now. If they've changed, adjust them intentionally rather than drifting into new ones by accident. There's a freedom that comes with living this way. You stop feeling guilty for saying no to things that don't align with your priorities. You stop feeling pulled in 100 directions. And you stop wondering why you never seem to have time for the things you say matter to you. You know exactly where your time is going, and you're at peace with it, because it matches your values. When you've made your decision about what matters and you've committed to doing it no matter what, you start to build momentum. Each day you follow through, you reinforce the habit. Each time you choose your priority over a distraction, you strengthen your self-respect. And over time, those small moments of discipline add up to a life that reflects exactly what you decided was important. This is the kind of life that doesn't just happen by chance. It's built day by day through the constant choice to honor what matters. And while it takes effort, it's worth every bit of it because you end up with a life you can be proud of, a life that's yours in the truest sense, shaped by your values, driven by your choices, and protected from the noise that once pulled you away.
Chapter 5. Control your actions instead of chasing a good feeling. Chasing a good feeling is one of the easiest ways to lose control over your own life. Feelings are unpredictable. They change with your sleep, your energy, the weather, or even something as small as a single comment from someone else. If you build your actions around the pursuit of a certain emotional state, you give away your stability to things you cannot control. You end up moving only when it feels good, and stopping whenever it feels uncomfortable. That's how years go by without meaningful progress. If you want a life that consistently moves forward, you must decide to control your actions regardless of how you feel in the moment. The problem with chasing good feelings is that they are temporary by nature. A burst of excitement fades. A moment of inspiration passes. Even deep satisfaction changes over time. When you depend on those feelings to drive your behavior, you will constantly be searching for a spark to get started again. But the truth is,
You don't need a spark to act. You need a decision and the discipline to follow through. The more you act without waiting for emotions to lead you, the more consistent and reliable your progress becomes. Controlling your actions means you take ownership of your behavior, not just your intentions. Many people have good intentions. They want to eat healthier, improve their finances, strengthen their relationships. But when a moment of temptation or discomfort appears, their actions don't match their goals. This gap between intention and action is where most dreams are lost. The way to close it is to base your decisions on commitments instead of moods. There's a big difference between acting for long-term benefit and acting for short-term comfort. Short-term comfort feels good now but often takes you further from your goals. Long-term benefit may feel difficult in the moment, but brings lasting results. When you control your actions, you choose the long-term benefit even when the short-term comfort is louder. That's not easy. But it's how you earn a life you're proud of instead of a life you're always trying to fix. One way to start gaining control over your actions is to create clear, measurable standards for yourself. If your plan is vague, like I'll work out when I can, or I'll eat better when I feel like it, you leave the door open for emotion to decide. But if your plan is specific, like I will go to the gym every Monday, Wednesday and Friday at 7 a.m., you've given yourself a concrete action to follow, and it's much easier to stick to, regardless of mood. It's also important to separate the action from the reward. Many people get stuck because they expect the action to feel rewarding immediately. But some of the most important actions you'll ever take won't feel good at first. They might feel boring, uncomfortable, or even frustrating. Controlling your actions means doing them anyway, trusting that the reward will come later. This is how you build habits that actually last, by doing them because they are necessary, not just because they are enjoyable. A practical strategy for this is to commit to doing what needs to be done for a set amount of time, even if you feel no desire to start. You might tell yourself, "I'll work on this for just 10 minutes." Most of the time, those 10 minutes turn into more, but even if they don't, you've reinforced the habit of action. You've proven to yourself that you can follow through without waiting for a good feeling to push you. Another challenge is that people often use feelings as a measure of progress. They think, if I feel motivated, I must be on track. If I feel unmotivated, something's wrong. But feelings are a poor indicator of progress. You can feel unmotivated and still be doing the exact right thing for your future. And you can feel motivated while wasting time on things that don't matter. The only reliable measure is whether your actions match your priorities. The truth is, the most successful people in any field don't rely on feeling good to get the job done. They may enjoy their work, but they've trained themselves to act regardless of mood. They understand that there will be days when they don't feel like showing up, but showing up is exactly what keeps them ahead. You can do the same. It starts with refusing to let feelings decide whether or not you follow through. It's easy to forget that feelings are just one part of the human experience. You also have reason, values, and commitments. When you let feelings overrule the rest, you become reactive instead of proactive. You go wherever the mood of the moment takes you. Controlling your actions means you reverse that order. You let your commitments lead and your feelings follow, not the other way around. Sometimes the urge to chase a good feeling shows up in the form of avoid. You tell yourself you'll work on something later because you don't feel ready now. But avoiding the work doesn't actually create readiness. More often, it increases anxiety, which makes starting even harder. The quickest way to create momentum is to act now, even imperfectly, instead of waiting for the perfect feeling to arrive. It's also helpful to recognize the patterns in your own feeling. You might notice that your mood tends to drop at a certain time of day, or that certain tasks always trigger resistance. Instead of letting these patterns control you, plan around them. If you know mornings are when you feel strongest, schedule your most important actions then. If you know you tend to procrastinate in the evenings, have a system that forces you to finish earlier. This way you use awareness to maintain control rather than leaving it to chance. When you stop chasing feelings, you also stop being a prisoner to the highs and lows of motivation. You no longer need to wait for that rare rush of inspiration. You create results steadily. And ironically, that consistency often brings more genuine satisfaction than chasing pleasure ever could. The pride of following through is deeper and more lasting than the fleeting comfort of skipping what matters. Controlling your actions also builds trust with yourself. Every time you follow through on a decision, you reinforce the belief that you can rely on your own work. This self-trust is powerful. It means you no longer have to question whether you'll do what you planned. You know you will. That confidence spills into every part of your life, making you more decisive and resilient. Of course, there will be moments when emotions feel overwhelming. You might feel anger, sadness, or exhaustion so strongly that it seems impossible to act. In those times, control doesn't mean ignoring your feelings. It means choosing your response intentionally. Sometimes that choice will be to rest or regroup, but it will be done on your terms, not as an automatic surrender to emotion. Another benefit of controlling your actions is that it removes the constant mental debate. When you let feelings decide, you spend a lot of time negotiating with yourself. Should I do it now? Should I wait? Do I feel like it yet? That back and forth drains your energy. When you've already decided what you will do and when, there's no negotiation. You simply act. That simplicity frees up mental space for more important decisions. It's important to be clear. Controlling your actions doesn't mean you never experience good feelings. In fact, many times the good feeling you were chasing comes naturally after you've acted. The satisfaction of keeping a promise to yourself, the relief of making progress, the pride of staying consistent, these are all good feelings that come as a result of action, not as a requirement for it. One way to strengthen this mindset is to keep a record of the times you acted without waiting for the right mood. Each time you do this, write it down. Over time, you'll have a list that reminds you you're capable of far more than your emotions might suggest in the moment. This record can be a powerful source of encouragement on difficult days. The more you practice controlling your actions, the more you start to see feelings differently. You stop seeing them as commands and start seeing them as passing experience. You might feel resistance, boredom, or hesitation, but you no longer treat those feelings as instructions to stop. You acknowledge them, but you still move forward. This shift in perspective changes everything. In the end, the difference between chasing a good feeling and controlling your actions is the difference between living reactively and living deliberately. One keeps you stuck in cycles of starting and stopping, always at the mercy of your mood. The other allows you to build steady progress that doesn't break when your feelings change. The choice is yours. You can keep waiting for the perfect emotional state that might never come. Or you can take ownership of your actions and create a life that moves forward regardless of how you feel. When you decide that your behavior will be led by choice, not by emotion, you give yourself a kind of freedom most people never experience. You are no longer dependent on luck or chance to feel ready. You've built the ability to act at will, and that ability will serve you far longer than any temporary good feeling ever could.
Chapter 6. Keep moving forward when your emotions slow you down. There will be days when your emotions feel heavier than the work in front of you. You might feel drained without knowing exactly why. You might wake up with a lack of interest in things you normally care about. You might find yourself distracted, irritated, or discouraged for reasons that are hard to explain. Those days are when forward movement matters the most. If you allow emotions to slow you until you stop, you give them power over your progress. But if you choose to move in spite of them, you prove to yourself that your path is stronger than any temporary feeling. Emotions are powerful signals, but they are not always accurate guides. They are influenced by countless factors: sleep, diet, stress, weather, hormones, recent conversations, many of which have nothing to do with your actual goals. If you make every decision based on how you feel in the moment, you'll end up stopping and starting endlessly.
The way to break that cycle is to decide that your direction will remain steady, even when your emotional state changes. When your emotions slow you down, the first step is to recognize it without judgment. Telling yourself you shouldn't feel this way only adds frustration to the situation. Acknowledge that you feel off, but also remind yourself that feelings are temporary and movement is still possible. You don't have to wait for your emotions to lift before you act. You can carry them with you and still take the next step. One of the simplest ways to keep moving is to lower the threshold for progress on difficult days. If your plan calls for a large task, break it into the smallest meaningful action you can take right now. You may not have the energy to complete everything, but you can do something. Even the smallest forward movement keeps your momentum alive and prevents the loss of progress that comes from stopping completely. It's also important to remember that you don't have to feel motivated to take action. People often think action should follow inspiration, but more often inspiration follows action. By starting even without emotional drive, you often find yourself gradually getting into the rhythm of the work. That rhythm can lift your mood or at least make it easier to continue. If you wait for a better emotional state before you begin, you miss the chance to create it through doing. There are times when the emotional weight feels so strong that your thoughts turn toward quitting altogether. That's when your why becomes critical. You must know why you're doing what you're doing. Why it matters, beyond the moment. A reason tied to your values and future will pull you forward when emotions push you to stop. Without that deeper connection, it's too easy to give in to the comfort of inaction. Another way to move forward in difficult emotional states is to focus on process rather than results. When you're emotionally low, the end goal can feel impossibly far away, which only adds to the weight you're already feeling. But if you focus on completing the process, finishing today's workout, writing for 15 minutes, making the sales calls, you keep your attention on something you can control right now. This makes the work feel less overwhelming and keeps your momentum alive. Keeping forward movement also requires self-compassion. Being hard on yourself for slowing down can trap you in guilt and frustration, which drains even more energy. Instead, accept that emotions fluctuate and that some days will naturally be hard. Your job is not to perform at your absolute peak every day. Your job is to maintain forward motion, no matter how small, so that the path ahead stays open. When emotions threaten your pace, structure becomes your ally. Having a clear schedule or set routine removes the need to decide whether or not to act. You simply follow the plan you've already made. This removes much of the mental debate that emotions feed on. The more you reduce the number of choices you have to make in low energy moments, the easier it is to keep moving forward. There's also value in narrowing your focus during emotional dips. Instead of trying to handle everything at once, choose one priority and give it your attention. Spreading your effort thin when you're already low makes it easier to get overwhelmed and stop. By focusing on one thing, you can finish it and gain the sense of accomplishment that helps restore some energy for the next step. At times, the best way to push through emotional slowdowns is to remove the idea that you need to feel like it at all. Action becomes simply something you do because it's part of who you are, not something you negotiate with based on mood. When you adopt that mindset, you stop checking your emotional temperature before starting. You just start, and the movement itself often becomes the medicine for your state of mind. You may also find that forward movement during emotional lows is easier when you avoid isolation. Being around others who are focused and disciplined can help lift your own energy, even if only slightly. On days when you feel slow, consider working alongside others or connecting with someone who encourages you to keep going. The presence of someone moving forward often reminds you that it's possible to do the same. There's a danger in thinking that low emotions mean something is wrong with your path. This is not always true. Even the most fulfilling goals will have days that feel heavy. Misinterpreting natural emotional dips as signs that you should stop can lead you to abandon things that are actually good for you. Keeping movement steady requires separating your temporary feelings from the bigger truth of your chosen direction. On particularly slow days, it can help to build in quick, achievable wins early. Doing something small and finishing it creates momentum you can carry into harder tasks. This might be as simple as organizing your desk, responding to one important email, or making your bed. The satisfaction of completion can push back against the drag of low emotions and make it easier to tackle the next thing. It's also worth paying attention to your physical state. Often emotional slowdowns are connected to physical factors like dehydration, lack of movement, or poor sleep. Addressing these basic needs can have an immediate effect on your energy and your ability to act. Taking care of your body is not separate from keeping forward momentum, it's part of it. When you're in a low state, time can feel distorted, minutes stretch and tasks seem bigger than they are. One way to counter this is to use short, focused bursts of work, followed by brief breaks. This structure gives you a clear start and stop, which can make the work feel less overwhelming. Over time, these bursts can add up to significant progress, even on days when you thought you could do very little. There's a mental strength that comes from learning to move through emotional resistance. Each time you act while feeling slow or heavy, you teach yourself that you are capable of more than you thought. This builds resilience, and resilience makes future emotional dips less disruptive. You stop seeing them as roadblocks, and start seeing them as temporary conditions you can navigate. Forward movement during emotional lows is not about ignoring your feelings or pretending everything is fine. It's about refusing to let those feelings dictate the terms of your life. You acknowledge them, you adjust where necessary, but you do not surrender progress to them. This is how you maintain stability in an unstable world, by keeping your feet moving even when your mind and heart are telling you to stop. Over time, this practice changes how you see yourself. You begin to trust your ability to keep going no matter what you're feeling. You no longer fear emotional dips, because you know they won't stop you. This confidence carries into every area of life, making you less dependent on perfect conditions and more capable of creating results under any circumstances. The truth is, anyone can move forward when they feel great. The real test of strength is moving forward when you feel slow, heavy, or uninspired. That's where character is built. That's where you separate yourself from the version of you that stops when things get hard. And that's how you eventually build a life where progress is not dependent on emotional weather. It's built on steady action, day after day, no matter how you feel.
Chapter 7. Do what you promised yourself despite feeling unready. There will never be a perfect moment where everything in your life lines up and makes you feel fully prepared to act. Waiting for that moment is the fastest way to stall your own progress. Feeling unready is a part of growth, not a signal to delay it. You made a promise to yourself for a reason. It came from a place of clarity where you knew exactly what you wanted and why it mattered. That decision deserves to be honored, even on the days when doubt, hesitation, or uncertainty try to push it aside. Following through despite feeling unready is how you build the life you said you wanted. Most people underestimate how powerful it is to simply do what they said they would do. They think they need confidence first, when in reality confidence is built after taking action. If you only act when you feel completely ready, you limit yourself to a narrow set of moments that may never arrive. Life moves forward regardless of whether you're prepared. If you don't move with it, opportunities pass. But when you push forward anyway, you grow into the readiness you thought you needed at the start. Doing what you promised yourself begins with remembering why you made that promise. It wasn't made for the days when everything feels easy. It was made for the days when following through requires effort and courage. That promise is a commitment to your own future. When you break it, you're not just delaying progress, you're teaching yourself that your own word isn't dependable. On the other hand, when you keep it even in uncertainty, you build trust with yourself, and that trust becomes the foundation for bigger steps ahead.
Feeling unready is not a weakness, it's simply a sign that you're stepping into something that matters. You don't feel unready for things that have no weight or meaning. The discomfort you feel is a signal that you're moving towards something outside your comfort zone. And the only way to expand that zone is to take action before it feels comfortable. Over time, what once made you feel unready becomes something you can handle with ease. When you wake up on a day where self-doubt is loud, the first thing to remember is that readiness is rarely a feeling. It's a decision. If you sit around waiting for the feeling to arrive, you will keep waiting. But if you decide to act now, you send a message to yourself that says, I lead my actions, not my uncertainty. That single choice can shift the entire trajectory of your day. It's easy to convince yourself that waiting will make things better. You tell yourself you need more information, more practice, more confidence. But most of the time, these are just ways to avoid the discomfort of starting. In truth, starting is what gives you the information you need. Starting is what gives you practice. Starting is what builds confidence. The readiness you're looking for is not something you prepare for endlessly. It's something you earn by showing up. On days you feel unready, lower your focus from the entire promise to the first actionable step. If you promised yourself you'd launch a project, the first step might be writing the opening paragraph or sending one email. If you promised yourself you'd improve your health, the first step might be walking for 10 minutes or preparing one healthy meal. You don't have to conquer the whole goal at once. You just have to prove to yourself that you can start, no matter how you feel. One of the traps that keeps people from acting is the belief that the first attempt has to be perfect. They want every detail lined up before they move. But perfection is often just a disguise for procrastination. You don't need perfect to begin. You need progress. Once you start, you can refine and improve. Without a start, there's nothing to refine, and the promise remains unfulfilled. Sometimes you'll feel unready because you've never done something before. That's exactly why doing it matters. Every skill, every achievement, every step forward begins with a moment where you don't know exactly what you're doing. The only way to turn I've never done this into I can do this is to take the leap. Those early moments of uncertainty are the price of growth. It's also important to understand that your emotions in the moment are not the best indicators of what you're capable of. You may feel hesitant, nervous, or unsure, but those feelings do not define your actual ability. Many times after you've followed through on a promise, despite feeling unready, you look back and realize you were more capable than you thought. You only discovered that because you acted instead of waiting. To make it easier to follow through on days of uncertainty, prepare in advance for the resistance you'll feel. When you first make a promise to yourself, write down why it matters, what steps you'll take, and what you'll tell yourself when you don't feel ready. That way, when the moment comes, you're not scrambling for motivation. You already have a plan to push through hesitation. Your environment can also make a difference. When you're surrounded by distractions, it's easier for feelings of unreadiness to win. But if you create an environment that supports the action you need to take, the path becomes smoothest. This might mean organizing your workspace, removing temptations, or scheduling your tasks at times when you're less likely to be interrupted. Structure reduces the influence of doubt by making the action more accessible. Following through despite feeling unready isn't just about the result, it's about the identity you build. Every time you act in this way, you reinforce the identity of someone who does what they say they will do. That identity is powerful. It means that over time, hesitation loses its hold on you because you've proven to yourself, again and again, that feelings don't decide your actions, you do. It's natural to want to feel confident before you start, but the truth is that confidence often comes from the evidence comes from past actions. If you've built a history of delaying whenever you feel unready, your confidence will stay low. But if you've built a history of acting in spite of that feeling, your confidence will grow because you've seen proof that you can deliver under uncertainty. There will be times when you keep the promise to yourself, and the outcome isn't perfect, that's fine. The outcome isn't the only win. The act of following through is a win in itself, because it strengthens the muscle of commitment. You can adjust, learn, and improve later, but you can't do any of that without the initial action. You might worry that acting before you feel ready could lead to mistakes. That's true, but mistakes are part of the process, and they are far less damaging than the cost of doing nothing. You can correct a mistake, you can't correct inaction. Every step you take, even the messy ones, puts you ahead of where you were before. If you want to get better at this, practice in small ways, make tiny promises to yourself each day, and keep them regardless of mood. Over time, this builds a habit of following through, and that habit will carry into bigger promises. The more you prove to yourself that you can act without feeling ready, the easier it becomes to do it in larger, more important areas of life. Sometimes the hardest part is simply starting. Once you're in motion, the feeling of unreadiness often fades, replaced by focus or determination. This is why taking that first step is so important. It breaks the illusion that you can't act yet. You can, you just have to stop negotiating with yourself and begin. When you consistently do what you promised yourself, even in uncertainty, you begin to notice a change in how you see yourself. You respect yourself more because you know your word holds weight. That respect fuels future action, creating a positive cycle where promises lead to action, and action builds confidence, and confidence leads to even stronger promises. The truth is, there will never be a day where life clears the path for you and hands you perfect readiness on a silver plate. If you wait for that day, you will still be waiting years from now. The way forward is to step in with what you have right now, even if it feels incomplete, even if you feel unprepared. The act of moving forward is what prepares you. The act of honoring your own word is what changes you. And the more you do it, the less you'll find yourself waiting for readiness, because you'll already be in motion. Chapter 8. Stay committed to progress when excitement is not there. Excitement is a great starter, but it's a poor finisher. It gives you a rush in the beginning, making the work feel light and effortless. But like all emotions, it fades. When the newness wears off, when the novelty is gone, and when the results are still far from where you want them to be, that's when the real test begins. Most people quit at this stage because they think the absence of excitement means something is wrong. In reality, it means you've entered the phase where discipline and consistency must take over. If you only stay committed when you're excited, you'll never stick with anything long enough to see it through. Staying committed without excitement requires a shift in how you measure your progress. You can't depend on feelings to tell you whether you're doing well. Feelings change daily, sometimes hourly. One morning, you might wake up ready to take on the world, and the next, you might feel like doing nothing. If your progress depends on riding those waves, you'll always be starting over. But if you learn to act regardless of emotional highs or lows, you gain the power to keep moving forward steadily, which is the only way long-term growth happens. The key is to build habits that run even when enthusiasm is low. This means setting clear actions you do every day or every week, no matter how you feel. A runner doesn't train only on the days they feel like running. They train because running is part of who they are. You need to decide that your work toward your goal is not optional. It's not something you pick up and drop, depending on mood. It's a standard you hold yourself to, whether or not excitement shows up. In the early stages of any goal, progress often feels visible and rewarding. You see quick wins, you get compliments, you feel the thrill of moving from nothing to something, but eventually, progress slows down. The wins get smaller, and the work becomes routine. This is the point where many people lose interest and start drifting away. Staying committed means you keep showing up even during the slower seasons. You understand that results compound over time, and that every steady effort adds up, even if it's not exciting in the moment. One of the biggest mistakes people make is chasing constant excitement. They jump from one project to another, one plan to another, always looking for that fresh rush. The problem is, by the time they find it, they've left a trail of unfinished work behind them. The real satisfaction in life comes from finishing what you start. That satisfaction is deeper than the quick thrill of starting something new, but you only get it if you push through the stage where excitement disappears. When excitement fades, it helps to reconnect with the reasons you started in the first place. You began this journey for a reason that was bigger than a temporary move. Maybe you wanted to build a better life for your family. Maybe you wanted to prove to yourself you could do it. Maybe you wanted to change your health, your finances, or your skills. Whatever your reason, bring it back to the front of your mind. That reason is your anchor when emotions are no longer driving you forward. Another practical approach is to measure your success by actions taken, not just results achieved. If your only measure of progress is the end result, you'll get discouraged when results slow down. But if you track the actions you control, like hours practiced, workouts completed, or tasks finished, you'll see that you're still making progress, even if it's not flashy. This keeps your focus on what you can do today, instead of getting frustrated about what hasn't happened yet. When excitement isn't there, structure becomes even more important. Without structure, you'll rely on feelings to decide whether or not to act. With structure, you remove the decision-making from the moment. You don't wake up and ask, "Do I feel like working today?" You wake up and follow the plan you've already set. This is how you keep moving without depending on temporary motivation. It's also worth accepting that some days will feel ordinary, even boring. That's not a sign you're failing, it's a sign you're building something real. Anything meaningful in life involves stretches of work that aren't exciting, but are absolutely necessary. Athletes train through routine drills. Writers put in hours of revisions. Business owners handle unglamorous tasks behind the scenes. These aren't exciting moments, but they are the moments that create the breakthroughs later. On days when excitement is low, lower your focus to the smallest action you can take that still moves you forward. Don't think about the entire journey. Think about what you can do in the next hour to keep your commitment alive. This keeps you from feeling overwhelmed and reminds you that progress is built step by step, not all at once. It's also useful to remove the pressure to feel excited. Too many people waste energy trying to manufacture excitement instead of just doing the work. You don't need to feel inspired to take action, you just need to begin. Often, the act of doing will bring more energy than sitting around waiting for it. Another thing to keep in mind is that excitement and fulfillment are not the same. Excitement is temporary and emotion-driven. Fulfillment is lasting and built on consistent action. The most satisfying achievements in life rarely feel thrilling while you're working on them. They feel like steady progress, commitment kept, and goals reached over time. If you focus on fulfillment rather than chasing excitement, you'll be able to stay committed long after the initial thrill is gone. Surrounding yourself with people who value commitment over mood can also make a big difference. If you spend time with people who quit whenever the fun fades, you'll be tempted to do the same. But if you're around people who keep going regardless of excitement, you'll be reminded that staying the course is normal and expected. Their example can help keep you on track when your own emotions are pulling you toward quitting. Sometimes excitement fades because the work feels repetitive. If that happens, you can look for ways to make the process more engaging without abandoning your commitment. This might mean setting small challenges for yourself, tracking your progress more visibly, or learning something new related to your goal. You're not chasing excitement, you're simply adding variety to keep your mind engaged while staying on the same path. It's also important to recognize that a lack of excitement can be a good thing. When emotions settle, you have the opportunity to work with a clearer, more level mindset. You're less likely to make impulsive decisions and you can focus on the long-term plan without being distracted by constant highs and lows. This steady state is where a lot of consistent progress happens, even if it doesn't feel dramatic. There will be days when your mind tells you, it doesn't matter if I skip today, that's the danger zone. Skipping once can easily turn into skipping twice, and soon the habit is gone. Staying committed means understanding that every day matters, even if the progress feels invisible. Each day you show up is a vote for the person you want to be, and those votes add up to real change. You also need to be honest with yourself about the cost of quitting when excitement fades. If you stop every time you lose interest, you train yourself to only work during emotional highs. That makes you unreliable to yourself and guarantees you'll restart the same goals over and over. The cost is wasted time, lost momentum, and missed opportunities. The benefit of pushing through is that you prove to yourself that you can be counted on, no matter how you feel. Staying committed without excitement is less about motivation and more about identity. When you decide, I'm the type of person who follows through, you stop relying on mood as the deciding factor. You act because that's who you are, not because you're temporarily inspired. Over time, this identity becomes so strong that quitting is no longer an option you consider lightly. Eventually, excitement will return in waves, maybe after a breakthrough, maybe after hitting a milestone, but by then you won't need it to keep going. You'll already have built the habit of showing up without it, and that habit will carry you further than excitement ever could, because it works every day, in every season, no matter what you feel. This is how progress that lasts is built through the steady choice to keep going, when the thrill is gone, when the pace feels slow, and when no one is clapping. It's in these moments that your future is shaped. If you can stay committed then, you can stay committed through anything. And if you can stay committed through anything, there's nothing you can't achieve.
Chapter 9. Make choices based on goals, not temporary emotions. Every day you face decisions that shape where your life will be months or even years from now. Some of those choices seem small in the moment. What to eat, how to spend your free time, whether to push yourself a little more or take it easy. Others are bigger. Whether to take an opportunity, commit to a challenge, or end something that's holding you back. The problem is, in the heat of the moment, it's easy to let temporary emotions make these decisions for you. You might choose based on stress, excitement, fear, or frustration, without thinking about how it lines up with the life you want. If you want to build something lasting, you have to start making choices based on your long-term goals, not on how you happen to feel right now. Temporary emotions can be deceptive. They can make something that's bad for you seem appealing, and something that's good for you seem unnecessary or too hard. A bad mood can make you skip something important because you don't feel like it. A burst of excitement can make you jump into something without thinking it through. If you let these momentary feelings control your decisions, you'll find yourself on a constant roller coaster, starting, stopping, changing direction, never building consistent progress toward what you truly want. Choosing based on goals means having a clear vision of where you're going. If you don't know your destination, it's almost impossible to make steady progress. You need to be able to measure every decision against that vision and ask, does this bring me closer to my goal or further away? That question creates a pause, and that pause gives you the chance to act deliberately instead of reacting emotionally. This approach requires self-awareness. You have to notice when you're being pulled by an emotion before you act on it. It might be the urge to skip your workout after a frustrating day. It might be the temptation to make a big purchase after seeing someone else show off what they have. It might be the desire to quit a project because it's taking longer than you expected. These are moments where a goal-based mindset steps in. Instead of acting on the feeling, you remind yourself what you're trying to achieve and choose the option that keeps you moving toward it. Sometimes, the goal-based choice is the harder one in the moment. It might require effort when you're tired, patience when you're impatient, or restraint when you want instant gratification. But that's exactly why it works, because it keeps you aligned with what matters, even when emotions try to pull you off course. Easy choices made for comfort today often lead to harder lives later. Harder choices made for your goals today often lead to easier lives later. One way to strengthen this habit is to clearly define your goals and keep them visible. Write them down and place them somewhere you'll see daily. When you're about to make a decision, glance at them and ask yourself if your choice supports them. The more you connect your daily actions to your bigger vision, the less influence temporary emotions will have over you. It's also helpful to build a delay into emotionally charged decisions. If you feel the urge to act on something intense, whether it's excitement, anger, or fear, give yourself a set period before committing. That pause can be a few minutes for small decisions or a few days for big ones. Time gives emotions the space to settle, and when they do, you can see the situation more clearly. Making choices based on goals is easier when you have already decided your standards in advance. If you know that your health is a priority, you don't have to renegotiate every time you're offered junk food. If you've committed to saving money, you don't have to wrestle with every purchase. The decision is already made, you're just following through. This takes much of the emotional debate out of the moment. It's important to understand that temporary emotions aren't bad. They're part of being human, and they can provide valuable signals. But they're not meant to be the driver of every choice you make. If you treat them as information rather than instructions, you can acknowledge them without letting them dictate your actions. You might feel discouraged, but still choose to work. You might feel anxious, but still choose to take the opportunity. That's when you know your goals are leading you instead of your moods. Over time, this way of living builds trust in yourself. You start to believe in your own ability to stay on course, regardless of emotional ups and downs. You stop fearing bad days, because you know they won't derail you. You stop relying on perfect conditions to move forward, because you've learned how to keep moving in any condition. That steadiness is what allows you to create lasting change instead of temporary bursts of effort. This habit also protects you from making choices you regret. Many regrets come from decisions made in emotional moments. Words said in anger, opportunities missed out of fear, money spent in excitement. When you start filtering decisions through your goals, you're far less likely to act in ways that conflict with your long-term vision. You might still feel the emotion strongly, but you'll respond in a way that serves you, not harms you. A big part of making goal-based decisions is accepting that short-term sacrifices are necessary. You might give up leisure time to work on a skill. You might spend less money now to have more freedom later. You might choose discipline over comfort again and again. These sacrifices can feel tough in the moment, but they're investments in the life you actually want. If you can keep that perspective in mind, the choice becomes clearer, even if it's not easier. One strategy that helps is to imagine your future self. Picture the person you want to be a year from now. When you're facing a decision, ask which option that version of you would choose. Would they skip the effort or push through it? Would they spend impulsively or stick to the plan? Would they take the safe option or the one that moves them forward? Thinking this way takes you out of the emotions of the moment and puts you into a bigger long-term perspective. It's also worth being honest about how much damage acting on temporary emotions can do over time. One skipped task seems small, but repeated often, it becomes a habit. One impulsive purchase seems harmless, but repeated, it drains resources. One moment of quitting under pressure can set a pattern of giving up whenever things get difficult. Every time you choose based on emotion instead of goals, you reinforce that behavior. Every time you choose based on goals, you strengthen the opposite behavior. Building this discipline doesn't mean you never enjoy yourself or make spontaneous choices. It means you stay aware of the difference between a choice that aligns with your goals and one that doesn't. You can still choose pleasure or relaxation, but you do it intentionally, not as a reaction to a fleeting feeling. That's the difference between control and being controlled. When you live this way long enough, you notice something important. Your emotions start to work with you more often, instead of against you. The pride of staying aligned with your goals creates a sense of satisfaction that outlasts the highs and lows of temporary feeling. Your moods still change, but your direction doesn't. You move forward steadily, regardless of what's happening inside you at the moment. This is the kind of stability that turns goals into reality. It's not about avoiding emotions, it's about learning to lead them. You decide where you're going, and you make sure every choice, big or small, keeps you on that path. And when you can do that consistently, there's no emotional storm strong enough to pull you off course.
Chapter 10. Hold your standards steady, even when you feel off. Standards are the lines you draw in your life that you refuse to cross. They're the expectations you set for yourself about how you work, how you treat others, how you care for your health, and how you show up in the world. They're not just rules you follow when things are easy, they're the foundation of who you are, and they hold you steady when life feels uncertain. The true value of a standard is revealed not when you feel great and motivated, but when you feel tired, discouraged, or mentally off balance. Anyone can stick to their standards when they're at their best. The challenge and the growth comes from holding them steady when you're not. It's human nature to feel different from one day to the next. Some mornings you wake up with clear focus and high energy. Other days you feel like you're moving through fog. Your emotions, your energy, and even your thoughts shift for reasons you can't always explain. If you let those fluctuations decide how you act, your standards will crumble under the weight of temporary moods. The reason people fail to stay consistent is often because they treat their standards as optional guidelines rather than non-negotiable principles. Holding your standards steady means you've made a commitment that goes beyond how you feel. It means that whether you're having a great day or a terrible one, you show up in alignment with your values. If you've set a standard that you won't speak to people with disrespect, you don't abandon it just because you're stressed. If you've decided to exercise a certain number of times each week, you don't skip just because you're unmotivated. If you've committed to working on your business daily, you don't put it aside because you feel overwhelmed. Your standards stay the same regardless of how your day is going. When you feel off, it's tempting to make exceptions for yourself. You tell yourself, just for today, I'll let it slide. That may seem harmless, but it's the start of lowering your standards one compromise at a time. Every time you allow yourself to act below your own expectations, you weaken the habit of holding the line. The danger isn't in one slip. It's in creating a pattern where you justify lowering the bar whenever life feels uncomfortable. Over time, that pattern erodes your confidence and your sense of discipline. To hold your standards steady, you first need to be clear about what they are. Vague standards are easy to break because there's nothing specific to measure against. Saying, "I'll try to eat better," isn't a standard, it's a wish. Saying, "I won't eat processed food during the week," is a standard. Saying, "I'll do my best to work hard," is too open-ended. Saying, "I'll complete my top three priorities every day," is measurable. When you make your standards specific, you remove the loopholes that your feelings will try to exploit. It also helps to understand that your standards aren't meant to be adjusted to match your worst days. They're meant to guide you through them. That doesn't mean you can't make strategic changes if your life circumstances truly shift, but those changes should be made intentionally, not in the middle of a low moment. Decisions made when you're off are almost always about relief, not growth. If you want to adjust a standard, do it when you're in a balanced state, not when you're seeking an escape from discomfort. Another key is to separate how you feel from how you behave.
You can feel tired and still act with integrity. You can feel frustrated and still stick to your commitment. You can feel unmotivated and still take the action you said you would. When you realize your feelings don't have to dictate your actions, you gain the ability to stay consistent under any emotional weather. This is where strength is built, when you move forward without requiring the perfect mindset first. On difficult days, you may need to simplify your approach while keeping your standards intact. For example, if you normally work out for an hour but you feel mentally drained, you might choose to do a shorter session rather than skipping entirely. If you usually write for 2 hours but your focus is scattered, you might write for 30 minutes. This keeps your commitment alive without giving your feelings the power to shut it down. You're honoring your standard while adjusting the execution. Your environment plays a role in this as well. If you're surrounded by people who encourage you to cut corners whenever you feel off, you'll have a harder time holding your standard steady. But if you're around people who respect and maintain their own standards, their example will help you maintain yours. This is why it's so important to protect your space from influences that normalize inconsistency. Accountability can also be a powerful tool. Sharing your standards with someone you trust creates an extra layer of responsibility. When you know someone else is aware of your commitments, you're less likely to abandon them when you're having an off day. This isn't about seeking approval, it's about reinforcing the promise you've made to yourself by making it public to someone who supports you. It's also useful to remind yourself of the long-term impact of keeping your standards versus lowering them. When you stick to your standards on tough days, you build mental toughness and self-respect. You prove to yourself that you can be relied on, no matter the circumstances. When you lower them, you may feel short-term relief, but you lose trust in yourself over time. That loss of trust is more damaging than any momentary discomfort you avoided. Sometimes you may find that holding your standards steady actually improves your mood. Taking action, even when you don't feel like it, often creates a sense of accomplishment and control that shifts your emotional state. You might start the day feeling completely off, but by following through on what you said you'd do, you end the day feeling stronger than you start. This is one of the most overlooked benefits of consistency. It doesn't just protect your results, it protects your confidence. To strengthen your ability to hold steady, practice self-discipline in small ways every day. This might mean making your bed in the morning, sticking to a set bedtime, or following through on a small personal challenge. These small wins build the muscle of consistency. So when bigger challenges arise, you already have the habit of keeping your word even when you don't feel like it. It's worth noting that your standards are a reflection of your values. They represent what you believe is important and how you choose to live. If you allow them to shift every time you feel off, you're letting temporary states override your deeper value. That's why protecting them is about more than just discipline. It's about staying true to who you are. There will be times when life throws more at you than usual, and holding steady will feel harder than ever. These are the moments where most people break their own rule. But if you can stay anchored to your standards in the middle of pressure, you develop a kind of resilience that can't be faked. You become someone who can be counted on, not just by others, but by yourself. That trust in yourself is a quiet but unshakable strength. It's also important to realize that consistency doesn't mean perfection. There will be times when you slip, and that's part of being human. The key is to treat those moments as exceptions, not as a reason to rewrite your standard. A temporary misstep doesn't erase your ability to hold steady. It's only damaging if you let it turn into a new lower standard. In the long run, the difference between people who achieve lasting results and those who don't often comes down to this. The ability to keep their standards steady regardless of how they feel. It's not about never having bad days, it's about refusing to let bad days decide who you are or how you act. You can't control every circumstance, but you can control whether or not you stay aligned with your principles. When you live this way, you begin to realize that your standards are your foundation. They keep you steady when emotions are unpredictable, when circumstances are unstable, and when life feels heavy. And over time, this steadiness becomes one of your greatest strengths. You're no longer swayed by every shift in mood or every unexpected challenge. You have a set of principles that remain the same, and you live by them. That is how you create a life built on stability, trust, and respect for yourself, even when you feel completely off.